ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spare. Got to get back to my baby again.
And welcome back, and on the phone with us now is a longtime contributor, Mickey Folt. Mickey is the mercenary geologist. Mickey, what is a mercenary geologist?
Well, most geologists are mercenary. If you look at the definition of mercenary in the dictionary, it means someone for hire. Most people associate it with a mercenary soldier, but it just simply means exactly that, a person for hire, and I'm for hire.
And what do they hire you to do exactly?
Well, they basically hire me to evaluate projects and decide if they're if they're meritorious for investment.
Now, Mickey, what sort of projects are you looking at? I know this, but I'm just doing this for the benefit of the people who have never heard from Mickey Folt before. Now, what sort of projects do you go out and evaluate?
Well, I do a variety of things. You know, I've got almost 35 years as an economic geologist in this business, mostly as a field geologist. So I'll take a look about, I have some favorite commodities, and that's what I generally focus on. But I'll take a look at just about anything if I think you can make money at it. So right now, sponsors of my website, I run a sponsor-based newsletter model. Got a couple of gold companies, got a copper company, uranium company. I'm involved with a graphite company. I'm coming out today or tomorrow with a new tungsten play that I put some money in. So, we have this model in the, we play in the micro-cap junior resource stocks, and we're looking for doubles in 12 months or less. And in the history of doing this for 4.5 years, we've got 17 of 23 winners with a double in 12 months or less.
Mickey, are there any particular commodities that you especially like at the moment?
Well, I'm very bullish on platinum and palladium, and I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago about that. The demand and supply fundamentals are compelling on both those metals, with auto sales increasing. Not only in the United States, but now China is building more, building and selling more cars on a yearly basis than we are in the United States. So those require catalytic converters, and that's what these two metals, besides the fact that they also function as precious metals, are used for. Problem is, I can't seem to find a good platinum and palladium company at this point.
Now, are you're focused primarily for people who are going to own these mines, or are we talking about individual investors?
Oh, I'm doing this for individual investors generally, although in the past, a more significant amount of my work was to do evaluations on behalf of people looking to purchase or joint venture business combinations. I launched this newsletter in April of 2008, so we're almost 5 years old now, or almost turning five. And since then, I've been really focused on trying to educate the retail lay investor, and with the idea that make him a better investor, he will continue to put his money in this market, and that increases volumes, and we both know that volumes increase market capitalization. So that's a win-win on both sides.
Mickey, historically, platinum has always been significantly higher in price than gold, but recently they had reached parity. Where is platinum now?
Well, it's at parity now, but Alan, from November of 2011 until mid-January, platinum was trading at a discount to gold, meaning the platinum-to-gold ratio was less than one, and that's quite anomalous since gold was floated by Nixon in 1971, that's only occurred about 15% of the time. So when I see that ratio go below one, that becomes a buy signal for me for platinum. And in fact, I bought platinum about a year and a half ago, the physical bullion. So it has now come back to par And that is the normal ratio, and I actually think the ratio is probably going higher.
Would you say that the rise in the price of this ratio, or let's say the reason for the fall in the platinum to gold ratio, isn't that gold is overvalued, perhaps, but that platinum is undervalued?
Well, that's my point, and I maybe not say undervalued and overvalued, but certainly gold has been overbought and platinum oversold, if you will. So, you know, right now I'm not particularly bullish on gold. You know, I think it's going to be range bound this year, and I've been saying that for a couple of years now that it looks range bound. But generally, what we can say, and we'll see if this happens this year, but the price of gold at the end of the year is higher than it has been at the beginning of the year, and that's been going on for 12 years, and that's basically because worldwide, and this is in all currencies, worldwide we're printing more and more of these fiat currencies and devaluing our currencies, and so then gold relatively will increase in price. But right now the supply-demand fundamentals of both platinum and palladium look compelling to me for higher prices going forward.
Mickey, several times when we've talked, we had discussed the rare earth elements. What are the rare earth elements?
Well, the rare earth elements are a group of elements, number 57 to 72 on the periodic table. They're relatively rare, but they are used in a lot of high-tech applications and are essential for those in magnets and lighting, phosphors, as catalysts. So historically, going back a ways, we had the U.S. had the largest rare earth mine in the world in Mountain Pass, California. That's Molycorp. In about 1990 or so, China came in, cut, increased production from their big mines, and cratered the price, and they've essentially had a monopoly. So we had this rare earth bubble, both in prices and exploration stocks. It started in about May of 2009, lasted for about 2 years. But I have to tell you, Alan, that rare earth bubble is so 2010. I know I'm being a little snarky here, but that bubble, it looks to me like is gone, and we won't see that happen again. Molycorp, which is the big 800-pound gorilla on the block in this space, has not performed well. And if you look at a chart of some of the more high-flying juniors over the past 3 years or so, they've really tracked Molycorp. And so I'm not particularly bullish on this sector at this time.
But from a, I guess, strategic standpoint or national security standpoint, the fact that we don't really have a rare earth element industry in this country anymore, do we?
Well, we do, but there's two, and that's Molycorp. So Mountain Pass is back in production again, but they've had some difficulties. But they produce mainly the light rare earths. So I just told you there's 15 elements, 57 to 72 in this group. Well, I guess that'd be 16 elements, actually. Molycorp produces on the light side of that. So they produce the first four in that, so 57 to 61 or something like that on the periodic table. But they don't produce the heavies, and the heavies are what are really in demand by U.S. military and defense applications and a lot of high-tech stuff going on. So from that point of view, the entire Western world doesn't have a significant heavy rare earth producer. So there is space in the sector for a couple of heavy rare earth producers.
Mickey, we're running out of time. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, I can be reached at contact@mercenarygeologist.com. My website is the same thing, mercenarygeologist.com. We also run a 24/7 streaming internet radio, And this interview will be up as soon as your producer gets me an MP3.
All right. Good talking to you, Mickey. Mickey Fulp, ladies and gentlemen, the mercenary geologist, Mickey. It's fun. Let's don't wait so long for the next time.
Well, we kind of went off the radar screen. I look forward to being on your program again.
Me too. Mickey Fulp. Thank you, Mickey.
Thank you.
This is Alan Butler. When we return, we're going to be joined by my dear friend Jimbo, a.k.a. Jim Zotterer. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus.